From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Guy Raz. About one child in every 150 is diagnosed with autism. 11-year-old Andrew Skillings is one of those children. He has Asperger's syndrome, a mild form of autism. For Andrew's older sister, Marissa, her brother's diagnosis has affected every aspect of her own life. That's what independent producer Erin Davis discovered when she asked Marissa to tell her story.
I remember when he was born. I was 4 and a half. I was waiting in the waiting room, and I was sitting on my aunt's lap, and my dad came down and said it was a boy. And I was so excited because I did not want another girl. I wanted a boy. And then about 2 weeks later, we had to share a room, even when he was that little, and I decided that he needed to go back where he came from, because as a baby, he never, ever stopped screaming. I didn't understand why he was screaming, and then when we found out that he had a mental disability, I didn't understand. My name is Marissa Skillings. I am 15 years old. My brother's name is Andrew. He's 11, and he has autism. I don't hate my brother. I'd kill for him. But I could kill him, too.
Here is an alarm clock that if you push it, it tells you the time.
6:07. He talks nonstop.
My mother gave this to me as a present. Thing a right piggy bank. Measures
the talking and talking and talking.
Can tell what coin it is.
He'll tell anybody information about any animal, whether they want to hear it or not.
She had a snake that was... If it, like, laid down on the floor and stretched...
People can tell Andrew has a disability because of his hand gestures and the way he moves. When he gets nervous, he moves his hands back and forth. He'll walk with his arms down by his side, just shaking his hands.
Speaking of sweetie, here's what happened.
He likes to crack his knuckles when he's nervous, and he'll keep doing the movement of cracking his knuckles even if they don't crack.
Chicken legs.
Andrew!
Wow, chicken tastes good. Look!
Dog. Oh, yeah, I beat the crap out of my brother a few times.
You forget 24-7.
No, I don't. I take care of mine once in a while, too. You're impossible.
He freaks out. Like, if I won't get out of the bathroom and I tell him to shut up, he'll grab a kitchen knife and come over to the door and open the door and chase me around the house with a knife. And I know he'd never touch me with it, but... You know, when he's running with a knife pointed towards me and I'm running, if he tripped, then something bad could happen. So I have a curfew and I basically stay up till then.
She's always with her friends. She acts like she doesn't live here anymore.
I come home and deal with it when I have to, and when I don't have to deal with it, I make sure I don't.
Anything else I can bring for you, ladies?
No, that's it.
Enjoy.
Thank you. You're welcome. Well, it is
4:35,
and I'm with Chanel. We're eating at Applebee's, and then me and Chanel are probably going to go to Mayfield. It's a park where we watch really hot guys play basketball, and Cam Newman, he's a babe.
Oh, yeah.
And he's really tan, and I really hope he doesn't hear this, or his girlfriend.
Okay, anyways.
Okay, awesome.
I started staying away from home around 5 or 6. I'd stay outside or go to friends' houses as long as I could till my mom called me home. I can sit down and talk with my parents, but a lot of times it's like Andrew's always trying to explain something about a cheetah or a jaguar or something in the jungle that has no importance to anybody's life, but he just loves to share that information, yakety-yak, and if I interrupt him, he gets mad, and it turns into a tantrum, and my mom tells me to wait, and then it's just like, I don't even want to talk to you guys anymore. I think they understand that I don't have them enough, but there's nothing they can do, and they know that I know there's nothing they can do. If I stay away from it for a long time, like going out with friends and avoiding to be home till curfew, then I'll have more of a tolerance for it for the rest of the night.
Marissa, she has the guts, and I don't. It's like all of a sudden we just had this transfer. All of my guts went into her.
When you're at the age of 11, you're going to have kids, and they're going to tease you and say mean things. It's just a stage you go through in school.
I do not stand up for myself. She stands up for me.
Socially, he needs help, so I have to protect him and be there for him more than a normal big sister would. The neighborhood we lived in...
Like, back at our old house...
This kid kept picking on him every day and beat him up.
A kid was throwing rocks at me, and I picked a piece of cardboard up to shield myself, and one went over and hit me in the head. I ran in the to the house crying, and my sister had her PJs on.
And I just said, who? And he said his name, and then I went and found him. I came outside, and I saw him running up the street, so I chased him, and then I cornered him into a fence, and I slapped him. He was scared. He was, like, in tears. My face, I'm sure, was beet red, and I was, like, gritting my teeth. I'm like, just touch him again, and I'll punch you right in your mouth.
Well, I'm just glad to have somebody like that, even though she can't clobber me if she wants to.
Yeah, I was really mad because nobody can beat on my brother except me.
When we got back from Applebee's, we came upstairs, and Chanel and I walked down to the trampoline.
Want to get on, Andrew?
Well, throw me on it, yeah.
Sometimes if I get really frustrated, I just wish I could change everything, sell him to the zoo, and buy new parents. But then the times where I'm actually appreciating things and I'm not in the moment where I'm steaming mad, I really do appreciate what I have.
He's laughing and he's trying to hold it in.
I don't think I'd change anything because this is what I'm used to and this is my life, and Andrew wouldn't be like the Andrew I know and love if he was different because autism is his whole personality.
I like my sister. She's awesome and she's my sister ever. Ah! You're my sister ever. I love you. And I hope nothing happens to you. And I'll give my life for you. I won. Now don't kill me.
Our story was produced by Aaron Davis at the Salt Institute for Documentary Studies. You can see photographs of Marissa and Andrew Skillings at npr.org.